Revelation chapter 21. Revelation chapter 21. We're going to read from the first verse down through verse 8. Revelation chapter 21, verse 1. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they be his people, shall be his people. And God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. He said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is a thirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful, unbelieving, and abominable, murderers, whoremongers, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you for your precious word. I thank you for the opportunity we have to come together, study your word, hear your word, sing those beautiful praises. I do thank you for the Sunday school classes. Thank you for the teachers. And please continue to grow each one of us, that we may proclaim your word clearly and simply, that all that hear the words that the teachers teach, they will hear and listen and grow. Help us, dear Lord. Help us. Help us to know your will and know your way. Now please speak to our hearts today as we look at this scripture in the 21st chapter of Revelation. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. As we look at this 21st chapter, we have just closed out the end of the look at the books and those that were not written in the book of life. God could not make it any simpler. We have so much to be thankful for in just possessing salvation. Everything in this world, in this life, costs money. You have to have money to buy anything, to buy your food, to pay for your house, to pay for your electric bill, gas bill, all those things. Everything takes money. And we spend so much of our life working to make money, to build up an estate or an empire or whatever you want to call it, that is going to do nothing but fall down and deteriorate, constantly needing repair. If you'll just realize that's what God wants to give you, if you'll just come by faith to Him. All the things we work so hard to possess and build here upon earth, God is giving us 10,000 times more. And it's 10,000 times better than we could ever hope for here. And yet we spend so much time trying to build up our little world here, to have it so perfect. How difficult is it to get your name written in the book of life? It doesn't take money. It doesn't take position. All it takes is faith. God gives you that. Just need to believe in Jesus Christ, that He died on the cross to save you. How simple can it be to go from hell to heaven? How simple can it be to praise and to honor and glorify and enjoy the God that created all the world? How simple can it be? He made it as simple as he possibly can. He paid the whole debt himself upon the cross of Calvary. He shed his blood. And yet, folks today want to work their way there. They want to try to find another way, or they don't believe it at all. There is a new heaven and a new earth coming. The old are fled away, the 11th verse tells us. And the heaven, the earth, whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was no place found for them. And what that statement is, right before the 12th through the 15th verse, is telling that there's not going to be a rock to hide behind. There's not going to be a corner of a building that they can hide behind. There's not a basement or a crevice anywhere that the lost can hide behind. God will know and find everyone, because old is passed away. The earth and the heaven is gone. Judgment of the lost is taking place. And the next event then will be what we're looking at here in chapter 21 of the new heaven and the new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there is no more sea. Let's go back to 1 Peter. We're going to be in a lot of scripture verses today, so I hope that you're prepared to look to these. It's important that you see them. And please go with me to 2 Peter chapter 3. I'm going to be reading verse 10 through verse 13 today. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with great noise. The elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for a new heavens and new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. What a promise as we look here at this 21st chapter. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth are passed away. It also tells us there's not going to be any more sea. Isn't that a strange comment? There's going to be no more sea. And the comment is made that the reason there's going to be no sea is because for the first time there's not going to be a need for the separation of people, nor the separation of animals. And so as we look at this wonderful gift that God is giving us, is making for us a new heaven and a new earth. We also have in the second verse a holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down. Once again, we work so hard to make this place that we live in perfect. We're always planning this or moving that or changing this. And it's just got to be perfect. Is it ever perfect? Do you ever have hope of in this life of having everything done on your home and your place and everything around you? Do you honestly ever think it will be perfect? So what you're going to do is, for the rest of your days, you're going to work and work and work and work to try to make it perfect. You have a beautiful flower garden. Maybe even if you have somebody plant it for you, what's the first thing that happens? Maybe one plant dies, so you have to replace it. How about those weeds? I have weeds in my part of the country. I finally, this past 3 weeks, been working on it. When we moved back to the country, Here was this fence. I have my study upstairs, and I've got a big window that looks to the west, and it's a beautiful, it really makes you feel like you're living in the mountains. You look across the bottoms and then over in the bluff of Missouri Promised Land, over into the, and it's just a wonderful, wonderful view. It didn't exist. I had this brush line right in my road. Right where I would sit was this big old tree right in the middle. And so I went through, first year, cleaned it all. Oh, beautiful view, beautiful view. It's back. That brush all grew back. I took the fence out this time. I'm going to go down through there with more. That brush is not coming back. But what would happen if I don't go down through it with the mower for a year? Here comes these things, and they're you know, they can be that tall, and they have a thorn that big sticking outside of them. It's called thorny locust. That has got to be one of the most horrendous things that came out of sin, was that thorny locust. Jumps into your tires. You just drive within a foot of it. It jumps on your tire and flattens your tire. The curse brought all that on. So, enjoy this life, but please don't kill yourself trying to make it perfect, because it's not going to be. Enjoy it. Enjoy every day. You know Jesus as your Savior? You have salvation? Oh. Yes, you can enjoy things. Oh, I'm going to get that project done and I'm going to be finished. And if you turn around, back porch is falling off, so you're going to have to rebuild it. I get that finished, then I'm going to go on from there. Go on from there. Every time you'll find there's something new. We've worked so hard to make this to be a place of the Garden of Eden or the Garden of Pleasure. We know if we get this done, that is what I want, and then I'm going to be happy. I want you to please understand that there's really nothing in this world that brings happiness. Care for those things, enjoy those things, but only our God can bring happiness. And so, please, each day, live. Because there's always going to be a weed pop up. There's always going to be a repair that needs to be done here on earth. So now let's look at this new heaven and the new earth. You know, there's not anything said about it. We're to this much of the end of this book. That's much I got left, and this is all references, so I really got about three, let's see, one, two, three. I got 2.5 pages left. 2.5 pages left. We're to the end of the story. How many of you people are guilty when you get a book, you read the last chapter first? We're to the end of the book. So there's no place here we're going to learn about this new heaven and new earth, because it really doesn't tell us much about it. It spends more time telling about New Jerusalem, because that's what we have next here. We have a new heaven and a new earth that comes down. The thing that we do know about the new heaven and new earth is that there will be no sin. Not the potential of it. It will not exist. No sin. No curse. Everything is going to be perfect. How many folks here love to look at a beautiful flower? Beautiful rose. Or there's so many beautiful flowers. You realize that it's going to be the prettiest thing we have here is going to be the ugliest thing in heaven. Can you imagine that? The colors have been cursed. It's just, you know, can you imagine and how much pleasure we get in many things here upon earth? It's going to be multiplied times thousands by thousands when we get to heaven. It's going to be God's perfect home for us. A new heaven and a new earth. This holy city that is spoken of here in verse 2 is mentioned three times. once in the 11th chapter of Revelation, verse 2, once in chapter 21, verse 2, here where we're at, and then the last time in chapter 22, verse 19, the holy city. The last two that I listed are after judgment. It is a perfect place. The one before, God calls it, it has always been his holy city. He calls it his holy city, even though it is in the middle of the tribulation, back in the last 3.5 years, the tribulation, the reference is made, the holy city. We find this holy city is named, and I believe all of us know the name, but it says New Jerusalem. So we have the new heaven and the new earth. All things, other things are passed away. New heaven and new earth. We have New Jerusalem now, which is the holy city. There is listed this Jerusalem three times. We have a heavenly Jerusalem, we have an earthly Jerusalem, and we have a new Jerusalem. And so we're going to look at those verses of Scripture. I don't want you to miss those. And so let's go to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 22, for the heavenly Jerusalem. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 22. But ye are come unto Mount Zion, unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels. Heavenly Jerusalem. Go with me to Revelation chapter 11, verse 2. Revelation chapter 11, verse 2. This is the same place that we had a listing of the holy city. Revelation 11, verse 2. But the court which is without the temple leave out, and measure it not, for it is given unto the Gentiles. And the holy city shall they tread under foot 42 months. You'll find that to be 3.5 years. There was given a reed for this measurement. And we find that that is the earthly Jerusalem he's speaking of. And then if you'll go with me back to Revelation 21, beginning with the second verse through verse 10, really tells us of this new Jerusalem, the heavenly Jerusalem. New heaven and new earth. I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with man. Not only will there be a new heaven and a new earth, but the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords will be present with us. Let's go back to John chapter 14, and then we're going to go to Acts, two verses of Scripture that's worthy of reading to help us to understand this. John chapter 14, and we're going to look at the first three verses. It's a promise. We study this, we've read this many times. John 14, verse 1 through verse 3. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Now you may think of that being the rapture, and it is. It involves the rapture. God's going to take us home, and we're going to spend time with him. But we look here, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. The very place that he's going to prepare for us is the place we're talking about right here and now. New heaven and new earth. New Jerusalem. New Jerusalem. The Scripture makes reference of New Jerusalem being the habitation, the place where the church lives. And so we're going to live in New Jerusalem. And so when we take a look at these verses of Scripture, keep that in mind. Let's go to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1, verse 10 and 11. And while they looked steadfastly towards heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? The same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. He's coming again. So not only are we going to have a new heaven and a new earth, not only are we going to have New Jerusalem, our God is going to dwell here with us, here. The scripture we've read concerning the annihilation of the old and the making of the new. We have a comparison here in the second verse of how wonderful this will be. I've had the opportunity to have many weddings. And at my own wedding, they paid no attention to us guys. None whatsoever. All eyes were on the bride. All eyes were on the bride. And that's the comparison the Word of God gives us. How wonderful it will be when heaven and earth are made new, and New Jerusalem is here, and our God is here. But when we see New Jerusalem coming, it will be just like a bride adorned for her husband in verse 2. That's the look. That's what it'll look like. And the music changes from the time that the fellows come up and line up, and then the music changes, and here comes the maid of honor, and then here comes the bride. And when that changes, again, the music changes, and all eyes look to see. Nobody paid any attention when us guys come up here. Nobody. But all eyes were on the bride. And that's how magnificent and how beautiful it's going to be. And that was a comparison that God was able to use here for us that we could understand. And now we're going to take a look at our God as how He is going to be here with us. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people, and God Himself shall be with them and be their God. We have a fulfillment of a couple of scripture verses. Matthew 2:5-8, Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people. 2 Corinthians 6:16, God hath said, I will dwell in them, and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Partially fulfilled today, as the Holy Spirit comes to live within every believer. If you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you're born again, you are a child of God, you're a member of the church, you're a member of the family of God. But the fulfillment of this will not come till this time right here, when the new heaven and the new earth come down. New Jerusalem. And our God will be with us. The peoples that will occupy the new earth are not just Jews. They will be Jews and Gentiles alike. They will be all that have been born again through all the ages, from the day of Adam and Eve, and Adam and Eve will be there because they received the coats of skins and trusted in the Lord Jesus as their Savior, even though it was 4,000 years before Jesus would come to the cross. Yet that promise was true. And all promises that have been made to us through the Word of God will come true. Our God is true. He is not a liar. Man is a liar. God's tabernacle will be with them. Now, if we go back to John chapter 1. And again, this is a verse of Scripture you need to see. Many of you can quote it. But when it speaks of God tabernacle with the people, I want to show you where that started. John chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. But the important one is the 14th verse. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Tabernacled, tent. God put on a tent. And that's the tent, the tabernacle, that He wore until He got to the cross of Calvary. He got to the cross of Calvary. He was beaten, brutally beaten, nailed upon that cross, shed His precious, precious blood, and died. And that tabernacle was put in the tomb. Remained in that tomb for 3 days and three nights. And then He came out gloriously. He came out with His glorified body. A body that we'll have. A body that we'll possess and have through eternity. A perfect body. Tabernacled. As we have studied many times in the Scripture concerning the tabernacle, I have always said that if you want to have a picture of the Lord Jesus, put a picture of the tabernacle on your wall. Because it is a full picture of Jesus and what He does for us. The brazen altar in the courtyard saves our sin. Sins are taken away with the offering of the sacrifice. The brazen laver is the washing. Once we're born again, then the washing begins, the cleansing begins. And then through all of our life in Jesus, we have fellowship with Him. We go into the holy place, enjoy the bread and the light of the lampstand, having direction from Him to see. And then we have the beautiful incense altar as it flows up into the Holy of Holies and allows us to go right into the presence of God Himself, God the Father, to meet with Him and to talk with Him. That's what Jesus has done. So this is a perfect picture of Jesus from His offering of His life to the mediation that He gives us to go to God the Father. The tabernacle. Don't have a picture. We don't know what that looks like. I personally believe it'll probably look like the Antichrist. So if you want a picture of the Antichrist in your house, keep it. If you don't, just think about it when you look at it. No man knows what Jesus looks like. We're not to worship an image. You say, well, I don't worship the picture. Well, it's there. And you think He's God? Think about that just a little bit. Because we shouldn't have those pictures in our homes. God is not only going to and has died on the cross and saved us. He goes between ourselves and God the Father right now so we can have constant fellowship with Him. And then He will come back forever and ever and ever and be our God here upon earth. He's going to tabernacle with us. God's tabernacle will be with those people, with us, born-again believers. God tabernacles with them. And when He means tabernacles, physically He will come and go. He will be with us. We will not be confined to this earth. When the 1,000-year reign comes, and we come down with our Lord here for that 1,000 years, we will not be held to this earth. We can come and go as we please. And that's going to be nothing compared with when this whole earth and heaven is completely done away with and made new. And that's what we're looking at right here. these new people, born-again believers, is God's people. And God himself will be with us. There will be no one between us. We will be with him. This is a fixed, permanent relationship between God and his people. We talked about how that we try to have everything so perfect here. And no matter how we try, we fail. We're satisfied for a little bit, and then we want something else. Verse 4 really tells us how this life is. Something God's going to take away, but that's how it is. God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. This is a promise to all of God's people. Wipe away all tears. There can be no death, no sorrow, no crying, no pain. Think about that. Think about that. Something that can be brought into that no sorrow will be no fear. It's going to be nothing to fear. Won't be 1 ounce of fear in our life. Won't be 1 ounce of worry. Well, what about this? What if this happens? Can our minds imagine that? For us older folks, how many aches and pains did you have when you got up this morning? I don't know what I did. I did something yesterday because right in the center of my shoulder blade, it don't like me this morning. I got this wonderful pain cream. It just kind of numbs it, but it is wearing off. I need to get home and get some more. Come up the steps. How many bones hurt? How many aches do you have? Yeah, Carrie got back from the hospital on Friday. Spent almost a week there. She takes so much medication to stop the pain. I can't imagine if you or I took that much medication, it'd probably kill us. She just takes it to stop the pain. She won't have any more pain. See, some of us, you know, we'll be joyful and but for folks that have suffered a lot of pain, that's a hope for them, knowing that all pain is gone. All crying is gone. All hurt is gone. Death itself will be absent. Sin brings death, and sin's going to be gone. Sin brings sorrow. Sin's going to be gone. Sin brings crying. Sin will be gone. Sin brings pain. Sin will be gone. Former things are passed away. The curse is gone. The sin is gone. We will never see sin on this new earth. God won't allow it. It's not going to be like the first earth, that the potential was there. See, that's all it was. God wanted us to serve him and to praise him and to honor him by choice. Every person that's in this home here, in New Heaven and New Earth and New Jerusalem, will have made a free choice to trust in Jesus of the whosoever will. There will not be one person there that did not invite Jesus into their heart, not one. There will be those there, little children. There'll be those there that maybe of their mind, their mind wasn't so that they could think. They stayed as a little child. God protects them. They'll be there. They'll be there. But what a glorious place to be, serving our God, worshiping in our God, but never will sin enter in because the potential is gone. Never. The reason that it will never come is in the fifth verse. He that sat upon the throne said, "Behold, I will make all things new." And the last part of that verse is a wonderful way to say amen, because that's what that is. He that sat upon the throne said, "Behold, I make all things new." And he said unto me, "Write, for these words are true and faithful." And that's exactly what amen means. It's done. It's finished. It's faithful and true. Understand that. We're going to stop with that. The time has gotten away from me today. But we're going to begin with that sixth verse where it says, "It is done." But I want you to look at those verses of Scripture. "I will make all things new." When we buy something new, all it does is deteriorate. When God makes something new, it is perfect, complete, and eternal. Big difference. Big difference. Let's look for the coming life, the coming world, and enjoy it. Let's close in prayer. Father, I thank you and praise you today that we can come and we can enjoy this time. I just ask that you'll touch every heart. Help us to enjoy the things of this life, but not get so tied up and that it just consumes our life, because we should be in fellowship with you and thanking you and praising you for all that you have done for us. This old life has nothing to offer. This time here, this old cursed earth, for the folks that reject Jesus, Father, that do not come by faith to your Son, the Lord Jesus, they are living a life of total darkness and hopelessness in this life and awaiting the final home, which is the lake of fire. You have made it as simple as you can. Just come. It's all that needs to be done. So I ask, dear Lord, that today you'll touch every heart that's here today and help us to enjoy the things of this life, because you have given it to us, but don't let us dwell upon them, but we dwell upon you. And we serve you, and we praise you, and we honor you, and we await that day that we will be with you. Please, dear Lord, help us to be content. Help us to have joy in our hearts every day. Have your love that we can show others each day. Just guide and lead us now. Bring those to the cross for salvation, that they'll be saved. And show us this eternal home. And let us not worry so much about the things of today. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.